Welcome to the Berry & Lamberts Solicitors Podcast Series, Commercial Law and Dispute Resolution. In this series, we explain in everyday language how to go about planning for certain commercial scenarios, as well as explaining in more detail common disputes that may need legal resolution. Berry & Lamberts Solicitors, we're right by you through the good times, challenging times, and sad times.
Hello, I'm Paul Harvey, and this is another podcast in the series of podcasts with Berry & Lambert Solicitors under the theme of commercial law and dispute resolution. And today I'm with Darren Forrester, who is a partner with Berry & Lambert. A very warm welcome, Darren.
Oh, hi, Paul. Great to be on board for this one.
Thank you for joining us. And we're going to be covering topics that relate to neighbour and boundary disputes. Darren, could you please describe your role with Berry & Lambert before we go into the topic?
Sure. So I'm a partner in the commercial and dispute resolution team at Berry & Lambert, and I deal with a range of property and commercial disputes, which range from landlord and tenant disputes, possession proceedings, company disputes, such as debt recovery, shareholder disputes. So a full range of civil and commercial litigation are covered.
Well, there's obviously a lot of information to get through, so let's do our best and be as concise as we can. Can I start off by asking you, first of all, what types of neighbour and boundary disputes require legal assistance and will be covered in this podcast? Should we start with that?
So this podcast will focus on disputes relating to the position of boundaries between parcels of land and the rights and obligations of land and property owners. The podcast, however, will not deal with any party wall disputes, as there are very strict rules covering this area, which probably need a podcast of their own, to be honest, and are set out in the Party Wall, etc. Act 1996, nor will it deal with anything to do with antisocial behaviour.
Now, my next question is actually leading on from that, is how do I find out the exact position of the boundary line between my property and my neighbour's property? A common question, no doubt.
Yeah, it really is. The first place most people look to find the exact position of their boundary is their title deeds, which makes perfect sense. For most people, their title deeds will consist of land registry, official registers and plans, which confirm the extent of the land that is owned, the ownership of the land, and any rights or obligations that run with the land. These are generally quite simple documents, which are mostly printed on A4 size paper. Up-to-date copies of these documents, if people don't have them to hand, can be downloaded from the Land Registry website for a small fee. However, and this is quite key actually, most people do not realise that the Land Registry applies what is known as the General Boundary Rule to their official plans. Under this rule, the precise line of a boundary between properties is undetermined, so it's not fixed at all. The only way that a boundary can be fixed formally is by an application being made to the Land Registry for it to be fixed. This means that in order to find out the exact position of your boundary, you'll have to do some investigative work and gather some evidence. The best place to start is often with the original conveyance of the land, which were used to split the land into smaller parcels. These documents may be found with people's title deeds, or they may be available from the Land Registry. They can be very helpful as they sometimes include dimensions, T marks, or greater detail about a piece of land in general. The seller's property information form is also a very useful tool, as this form is completed by the previous owners of the land as part of the sales process and has a section dedicated to boundary ownership and maintenance. If possible, you can also try to contact the previous owners of the land to establish where they consider the boundaries of the land to be and how they dealt with maintenance. Along the same lines, you can also consider contacting neighbours to see if they have any information regarding the boundaries. And finally, you can check any previous planning applications or historic photographs of the boundary. These can all be very, very helpful. This process can be very time consuming. And even if you have a lot of this information, it still may not be possible to determine the exact position of the boundary, which may come as a surprise to many people.
Yeah, I'm sure this is where you need legal advice, isn't it? I mean, you know, to try and DIY this is probably incredibly difficult.
It's important that you speak to your neighbours. And I think that's going to be one of the overarching themes of this podcast, is that communication with your neighbours in relation to boundaries and boundary features, fences, walls, hedges, is always the first port of call. Because if you can agree something amicably, then half your job is done. Because when you come to see somebody like me and you leave it too late, it can be the damage is already done, people's backs are up, and then you could end up in court, which is what you want to try to avoid if at all possible.
So the advice is to get on with your neighbours from the word go, really.
I think so. I really do.
And then you suddenly find there's a right of way cutting across your property that no one knew about. Or am I being a bit cynical?
Normally, when you purchase a property, you'll get a report on the title from your solicitor, which should give you any details about rights of way cutting along your land or any obligations that run with the land. But I think if you're unsure, then it's always good to see a solicitor at an early stage, if only to kind of have a greater insight into how your property is affected by other people's rights, rights that you potentially have over other people's land. I think that's really key. Seeing somebody, not necessarily to start legal proceedings, but just to get an insight and more information. I think that's always very helpful.
So my right to drive cattle through my neighbour's property to market, that's probably something that belongs to the 16th century, then I better not put that into practice.
Yeah, but I mean, if the thing is, though, once you have those rights, even if you didn't use it for many, many years, if you have that right across your neighbour's land, then strictly speaking, you can still do it. These rights don't just disappear because you haven't used them. And I think that's quite important, because a lot of people think that if there's a right of way across their land, for example, and somebody hasn't used it for 10 years or however long, that right still exists. Unless there's a formal agreement to remove that right, then that right will still exist, because it runs not with the individual owners, but it runs with the land. It's a land.
It's the right, of course.
The land has across another parcel of land.
Well, I'll share it with you that I did study law for an LLB, actually. I decided not to go through with it. But I kind of remember in my first year of study how a right of way has a life of, if it's not used for 20 years, then it kind of lapses. But maybe the laws change, or my memory is probably not what it should be.
Oh, no, I think what it is that if you, I think what you're referring to actually is that if there is, let's say somebody's been using a right of way across land that isn't what's called a prescribed right of way, which is where it's in a legal document. But if somebody has for 20 years been using a right of way across land, and then is a dispute over that right of way, if you can prove that you have used that right for over 20 years, then that right can then be registered against the land.
Okay.
So that's what I think you're referring to.
Oh, I was right about the 20 years. Amazing.
So you're right about the 20 years, yes.
Must have got that question right. Okay. So leading on, how can I determine who owns the boundary feature, such as a fence, wall or hedge, and who's responsible for the maintenance?
Okay. So this is another question that comes up quite often, actually. There are no hard and fast rules as to which neighbour owns a particular boundary feature, such as a fence, wall or hedge. Your title deeds may contain wording where one owner covenants, which means promises, to maintain a wall or a fence, for example. But such promises do not necessarily mean that the party concerned owns that boundary feature, just that they have an obligation to maintain it. Sometimes, as mentioned sort of at the start of this podcast, land registry plans or historic conveyances have T marks to indicate who is responsible for the maintenance of boundary features. But again, this does not mean that party owns the boundary feature in question. Your title deeds may contain information as to who owns a particular boundary, but unfortunately, they do not always do so. Or the situation may have changed since the time that the deeds were written. So, regardless of any information in title deeds or land registry documents, unless you are certain of your ownership and maintenance obligations of a particular boundary, it is always a good idea to talk to your neighbour before doing anything to a boundary feature. to avoid any disputes where possible. And again, I mean, this is going to be something that I mention again and again. Initially, have a chat with your neighbor to see if you can find common ground. If you can't find any common ground, that's probably a good time really early on to just get some independent legal advice, just so you can get have a greater understanding of your rights and obligations. And that can help you plan your next stage and what you do going forwards.
And I suppose the solicitor's role is to engage with the neighbour as well to try and glean more information.
It can be. I mean, initially what you'd want to do, because often what you find as a lawyer is that your a letter that comes out from a solicitor can garner sort of, there's probably one of three responses. Either one, you just don't hear anything back, which just doesn't happen very often. Two, it can actually put someone's back up and create an area of conflict where they're doesn't need to be. Or three, it can really help focus somebody's mind to resolving a dispute because no one wants a scary letter from a solicitor. So I think a lot of that first meeting that people have with a lawyer is just to explore and to make that individual understand what their rights and obligations are. And then from that meeting, it's always good, and I always advise that people go away, think about what it is they want to do, take the advice on board, and then plan a sort of a strategy. So it's not just a scattergun approach where you're just so upset because your neighbour hasn't agreed with you that you want to fire letters off and you want to create a conflict, because it can be very, very expensive going down that road. And you want to be sure that if you are going to send something out to your neighbour, that you're pretty certain about the strength of your position and your rights and your obligations.
Okay, Dan, let's move on to a very common kind of topic here. Can I cut down tree branches from my neighbour's tree that overhang into my garden?
Get another, this one comes up a lot as well. The general answer is a resounding yes. If your neighbour's tree branches overhang your property, then that's generally, in legal terms, a trespass. And you have a right to trim or prune overhanging tree branches back to the boundary line of your property, even if you don't own the tree in question. However, your neighbour has a right to ask for any branches or fruit to be returned to them. I think there is a big word of warning on this, though. If you live in a conservation area or the trees or hedges are protected by a tree preservation order, you might need your council's permission before you trim them down or cut them back. Again, going back to the old fail-safe, to avoid any disputes with your neighbours, my advice would always be to speak to your neighbour first or drop them a note to discuss the overhanging branches and try to reach agreement with them before taking any action. This simple step, again, can save bad feeling and resentment, which can lead to costly court proceedings.
There's a common theme running through all this, isn't there?
There certainly is.
Let's go on from there. Do I have a right to go onto my neighbour's land to repair or maintain my boundary feature? I mean, it could be a fence, a wall, or a hedge, etc.
Okay, generally, the title deeds to your property may give you specific permission to access your neighbour's land to carry out repairs to your property or to a boundary feature. However, if there is no mention of this in the title deeds, you'll probably need your neighbour's permission to access their land. If your neighbour does not give you permission, there may be implied rights of access, which again, at that stage, I would advise you to seek independent legal advice about, just to see what those rights could be. But if that isn't possible, then the next step, if there's clearly no way your neighbour's going to agree, would be to get a court order, which would allow you to access your neighbour's land in order to carry out any necessary maintenance to your property, which would include a boundary feature. Listeners should be aware that if they enter their neighbour's property without gaining permission or having any right to do so, this will amount to a trespass. And we're not going to go as severe as with the trees where they can just cut you down and trim your bits off. They could take legal action against you. So again, if you're in doubt and you cannot reach an agreement with your neighbour, I think it's always worthwhile getting some independent legal advice at that stage, just to find out what your rights are and what your options are going forwards.
Just a quick question. With the weather we've been having, consistently over the last goodness knows how many months with this deluge of water that we're all having to put up with. Are you getting many kind of calls in or kind of questions looking for advice on how the escape of water or the buildup of water from one person's land that kind of then finds its way onto another person's land is creating an issue? Is water becoming a legal issue?
I think it's a really good point, actually. That is certainly something we're seeing a lot more of. One of my colleagues is dealing with a case at the moment where what you've got is a situation where there's water which is traveling down from two parcels of land away and across into and discharging into our client's land. And in that case, again, it is a case of a trespass. So our action in law would be against the neighbor whose land the water is coming, even though it's discharging from a third party's land into our neighbor's land and onto our land. Our concern is the trespass from our neighbor's land onto our land. Oh. And it's those steps, injunctive steps that we can take, which can help people if they've got to build some sort of retaining wall or divert the water elsewhere. There's definitely a lot more of that. I'm in the unfortunate position at the minute where we're having an extension done at home and we've been trying to do a roof and it's taken the best part of 3 months because the rain has just been relentless. So it is a big problem at the moment. I guess we're all doing the opposite of a rain dance to get the sun to come out because it is just it's absolutely relentless.
Maybe there's an area of law here that you guys can have a unique point of view on. There must be some new law coming out on this or case law that's kind of creating precedence here because it must be something that's just, you know, is it going to get any better? I don't know. Thank you for your point of view on that. What steps should I take if I have a dispute with my neighbour regarding the boundary?
Okay, so as sort of going back to the theme, I think firstly, let's talk to your neighbour. Let's try to reach an agreement where possible. Mm. The next step is always, in my opinion, is to then go and seek independent legal advice if you've been unsuccessful in trying to reach an agreement with your lawyer. Many firms like us, we offer a fixed fee for that, which is a reduced hourly rate, which can really just help kind of focus people's minds and give them a real insight into the benefits, the pros and cons of taking legal action and just giving a real insight into what people's options are. Alternatively, there are various community mediation schemes for neighbour disputes, which are also sort of very good and should be used where possible. If you've got a situation where agreement can be reached regarding the position of a mutual boundary, then what you can do is, to avoid any disputes in future, you can register what's called a determined boundary agreement at the land registry, which is registered against both properties and sets out the exact position of the boundary for future reference. So it just means once that's done, when you sell the property, you know that that boundary is in place. And so it prevents any future disputes about the position of the boundary. So if agreement can be reached, and that may be if it's reached in discussion between you or your neighbour or when you've got a solicitor involved, I would always strongly advise that a determined boundary agreement is entered into. And this gets over the general boundary rule that normally applies with properties once they're registered at the land registry. And again, if there is no agreement possible, and you require certainty. And I think it's a real high threshold. You need to think about how important the position of this boundary is to you because legal cases which revolve around boundaries are often the courts really don't like dealing with them because they're very expensive. They're time consuming. They're stressful. They lead to massive breakdowns in sort of relationships. I've got a client, for example, who ended up just leaving his house, selling up and moving from a house he loved because of this type of dispute. So I think there is a lot to be said about all of the negative sides of these types of disputes. And also another point is that if you have a dispute with your neighbor, then you have to disclose it as part of the sales process. And so that can mean you end up having to take a hit on the value of your home. So it really is trying to think about the ways to resolve things amicably. And even though I'm a lawyer, I'm a dispute resolution lawyer. My aim is to resolve disputes and the courts should very much be the last port of call, really, because it has a massive impact on people. So where we can, we try to resolve these disputes where possible by negotiation, by mediation, or by just trying to bring the parties together where you can. But in some cases, that's not possible. And we have to go to court, and we're sort of very adept at dealing with those cases as well.
Yeah, you know, I think this is a very interesting area. I mean, you touched on the fact that you have to declare any boundary disputes that are in process if you are selling your property. I mean, that not only can that impact on you financially, I mean, it must affect your mental health after a while as well. I mean, it must get very stressful.
It does. And you see people who they come in to see me sort of full of beans and full of the will to fight. And 6, 7, 8 months later, when you're going through the process and the invoices keep rolling in and you're falling out with your neighbors, it does take its toll on sort of even the strongest of people. So sure. I think it's just where possible, people really just need to try to resolve things amicably, if at all possible. But if not, that's what we're here for. And we'll guide you through that and try to kind of make it as stress-free as possible.
Well, this is a very interesting area of law that affects homeowners. Is there anything else that you want to kind of focus on just as a kind of final sign-off point, Darren?
Again, we'll go back and it's the same themes, but I'll definitely repeat them for impact, really, is that neighbour and boundary disputes are notoriously expensive and they're stressful. The courts often stress the importance of resolving these types of disputes without involvement of the courts wherever possible due to the cost and uncertainty of these types of proceedings. If at all possible, do try to reach amicable agreement with your neighbours. If this is not possible, seek independent legal advice at an early stage, which can save you a lot of time, money and pain in the long run. And I think that's my sign off, really.
Thank you for that, Darren. Obviously, people may have questions now that they want to put to you. If they want to get hold of you, how can they do that, please? Can you advise on the contact details?
The best way is to email me, really, at dforrester@berryandlamberts.co.uk. Alternatively, you can give us a call on 01892 526 344, and you'll either speak to me, someone in my team, or my secretary Charlotte, who's amazing, and we'd be more than happy to kind of just talk you through the options that we can offer you and get you in for an appointment if that's necessary.
Thank you very much for that, Darren. Great to have your company today.
Brilliant. Thank you so much. It's been an absolute pleasure.
I've been talking to Darren Forrester with this podcast about neighbour and boundary disputes with Berry and Lambert Solicitors. This is one of the series of commercial law and dispute resolution episodes. Darren is a partner with Berry and Lambert's with a commercial and dispute resolution team. Do listen out for the other podcasts in this series. I hope you've enjoyed listening. We'll catch up with you soon.
Thank you for listening to the Berry and Lambert Solicitors podcast series. To find out more about us, our services, and what our clients say, visit our website at berryandlamberts.co.uk. Berry & Lambert Solicitors is regulated by the Solicitors Regulation Authority and is a proud member of LawNet, the leading network of independent law firms promoting excellence and best practice. Please note that information provided in this podcast series does not constitute legal advice and serves as a general guide only. The law may have changed since this podcast was recorded. Listeners should seek legal advice from a solicitor who will take their individual and personal circumstances into consideration.